All right, let's open our Bibles and we're going to close out 2 Thessalonians. And I pray that this has been a blessing to you. It's sure encouraged my heart. I think the Lord has truly opened up a vast amount of wonderful, I think, type and shadow, at least for me, and the different things that have been in here. And I know there's much more. Like, I encourage my different classes over the years, you know, we've just touched a little bit of it. It's infinite. You get into a verse, and let me tell you something, he could take you there how many lifetimes and still you'd never exhaust it. But even though we left off on the eighth verse last week, I'd like us to start, maybe get a run and start back in the sixth verse of the third chapter. So we'll pick it up from that sixth verse, third chapter, 2 Thessalonians, and God willing, we'll close it out this evening. Now, Paul says here, we command you, brethren. So again, here's the good sergeant. He's ordering them. We discussed that last week. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so precious how we were rejoicing in that name on Sunday. But all power is in that name. And this is a prayer. And this is that direct acknowledgement that this is the authority that he speaks in. It's in the name of Jesus, the Word of God, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother. This is every Christian brother that walks disorderly. And that word disorderly, what a magnificent word, found three times and in this chapter, only in the Word of God. And what that is getting to is that these brothers were out of rank. By the grace of God, we're here to be in the first rank. Every man is in his own order. And the Lord gave Paul that message, and Paul gave that message to these Thessalonian saints to be the Philadelphia believers. And these brothers that had received this message were walking out of rank because they were departing from the truth of the tradition that Paul had brought to them. And it says here that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition. Again, that's the Word of God which he received of us. It wasn't just that ye all received. These brothers specifically received this truth and they walked disorderly after they had received it. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. And there's that word ought. You'll find it many times in the Word of God. And that's the choice. That's the choice of yielding that we have every moment, every day, that God encourage us to follow on and to follow Paul here as he followed Christ. And Paul says, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Paul always fell into that rank. And again, it was all by grace. It wasn't anything of Paul in his flesh, anything that he could do in his might. It was just the grace of God. And he acknowledged that over and over in his letters that it was God's doing. But we have to have a willing heart. That's what it is, brothers and sisters. We have to have a heart that's willing to surrender, that's willing to submit. That's, Lord, your way is right. I'm not going to try to twist Scripture to try to fit my wicked way. I'm not going to try to use the Word of God to an advantage of a fleshly feeling that I might have in trying to justify something. It's the Word of God, and the Word of God is true. And brothers and sisters, when we depart from the Word of God, and specifically what he's saying here, when we depart from Paul's teaching of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, you are out of rank. This is important. This is what the calling is at this time. This is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I'll tell you, whenever I do get a little bit weary and a little bit low, this is what brings me out of it every single time. God, you've called me to this. You've called me to this. Awaken my heart. Lord, I'll tell you, whatever you need to do, shake me up. Let me be a running. I want to finish with joy. What a calling we have. All right, let's go ahead and read verses 8 and 9 and pick it up. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to you, any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. So see, we have this example in the second letter that Paul has been warning and warning these dear saints over this departure from the Word of God, and specifically the departure from Paul's gospel. Now, when we first read about this departure, what was going on was that there were many that were claiming that the coming of the Lord had already passed. They were trying to distort that, and some of the different ones were getting a little bit out of sorts. Paul said, look, stay with the gospel. Stay with the gospel. Stay with the truth. But now Paul is going to even make a new point here, as we're going to see. And basically, what's distorting the gospel, or what's starting to cause a dissension among the believers, is people are not minding their own business. They're becoming busybodies. And we're going to really get into this evening. And I think how amazing this is. This distraction in the meeting, this distraction of going after truths, obviously, and hindering others, it becomes a discord here. And I'm telling you what, it gets you out of rank, and it gets you out of rank very quickly. But we're going to find that the best way to mind our own business, brothers and sisters, is to not be idle, is to be busy with the things of God and to apply ourselves in the things that God has for us. Each one of us have responsibilities. God has given you tasks. God has given you, if you want to say, roles in this life. And first and foremost, you're to live to be the man and woman of God. But in doing that, you're doing everything heartily as unto the Lord, to the gift that He has given you. Whether it's to be a student, whether it's to be a mom, a dad, a husband, a wife, a friend. By the grace of God, let me tell you something. Give it all that He's given you to give. And I mean that. Now you might look at some and say, well, they're not giving. You know what? Maybe that's all they have to give. But if you're not giving your best, have I done my best for Jesus? That song always used to hit me. But brothers and sisters, let it be in every part of our life. Help us not to be slothful, God, that we are encouraged to truly live the testimony that we can live an inspired life, that in spirit life in everything that we do, that we're not just going through the motions through this life, that we're truly allowing God to encourage us to truly be the champion that God has made each one of His children in Him. So, what He's saying here as He starts off is, I like this. Even though I have the right under Scripture, even though I have the right in the Word of God to demand of you to supply me with food and with raiment and with shelter, etc., because those that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. We know that. The Word tells us this. Paul is waving his right here, and he's encouraged of the Lord to bring the point home that you need to be busy and work. It's kind of a novel idea for some. And for some Christians, you need to be busy and work. And so Brother Paul says, I'm going to do this because I'm doing it for the sake of the gospel. And that's such an important part. Whenever we're living an example, by the grace of God, do it for the sake of the gospel. Don't do it to magnify yourself. Don't do it to, well, I'm showing a good example and I need to do this. And I'm telling you, the Lord brings me back to that many times in being in the position of a pastor. I want to do it for the sake of the gospel. I want to do it for the love of God. I don't want to do it because, well, that's what pastors are expected to do and this is what it is. No. You live the love of God. And when you love the Lord, He'll perform His will and His pleasure in your life. That's why we do it. We want to magnify Jesus Christ. We don't want to magnify ourselves, our goodness, or anything of that, because you don't even have any of that anyways. It's what God or Christ is doing in me. And notice here it says that they travailed in doing it. There were these hardships is what this is. This isn't an easy thing to do. It's never an easy thing to live the will of God. It's not of our flesh to give honor and to magnify the Lord. It's got to be Spirit given. We're a people that want to magnify ourselves one way or another. You can say, well, I don't like to be out in front of people. Yeah, but let me tell you something. Who do you think of first usually? Don't have to answer that. I'd hear a lot of me. But the whole thing is here is that understand that this is the gift of God, that grace that gives us that kind of a humility, truly, that gives us that we give honor and praise to Him. And if it is something that might be difficult in your life, accept that from the Lord and seek Him with it. Help me study to be quiet. How many times does the Word of God tell us that? I'm telling you, I've mentioned it many times. Lord, when I come up here, please don't let people see me. Don't want to be seen. I want them to see Jesus. I want you to hear the Word of God. Praise the Lord. And I really believe it makes my life a lot easier. At this point, you didn't like it? Well, that's what he said. You can go deal with him. All right. You see, so I don't want to give you my opinions. So, we understand that he said this even in the first letter about these hardships. And notice here, it's day and night, so not to be chargeable to them for anything. He didn't want to bring anything against the gospel. He only wanted to do things by his grace that would edify. Spiritual growth, spiritual encouragement. That's what this brother was the example of. And brothers and sisters, that's what we need to be an example of. We want to encourage one another in the Lord. And we need to be encouraged first in the Lord before I could ever encourage anybody else in the Lord. So it has to be a reality. It has to be something that we have before we could ever give it out. Now, being so close to a pastor and that he was my grandpa, it was amazing over the years, and most of them were stories. Thank God I didn't get to see too much of it. But I heard of pastor upon pastor that were abusing their privileges in the Lord by making themselves burdensome to the people. And that happens often. And God forbid, because that's not the way that we should be. And I want you to know, I appreciate everything that people do. I appreciate the little goodies and the snacks and especially the prayers and the cards and all of those different things. But I want you to know very fully well, the Lord is who takes care of me. And that's who I'm looking to. But I know that He gives us one another because He knows what we need. He knows when we need that cold cup of water. And I'm telling you, we need it often, don't we? And isn't it wonderful to be the one that brings that? You know, and magnifying Him. But when somebody needed that call or that little bit of an encouragement once in a while, that's why I say, be willing to be used of the Lord and to step up to say, Lord, what would You have me to do today? Help me not to be slothful. So, I guess that the concept that He's given here is, you know, how about being an example to people? We live in a time where people are, really, truly, it's just a bunch of hypocrites. Really is. You know, from Christians to politicians to pretty much every. You know, they tell you how you should live your lives, but they don't walk that way. And what kind of testimony is that? And you have to examine that. You really do. You know, Lord, am I in the faith? Am I in living the will of God in my life? And I don't mean this in any legal respect. Shoot, you've got the high calling of God in Christ Jesus message upon your life. It's your reasonable service. And you and I look at each other and say, well, man, I don't even know how to do that. That's right. It's just the grace of God. That's what's going to get it done. And by His grace, we need to understand that and say, Lord, help me to be that testimony, to live that life for You. All right, let's go to verses 10 and 11. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. How our country is departed from the gospel. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. I think this is just so perfect. How could we not? This is so ideal for the time and all of this nonsense that's going on our media. But all right. But see, here we go. Paul commanded them as a good sergeant here, didn't he? And basically, it's very clear. Work and eat. Don't be a burden one upon another. We don't want to do that. And it doesn't state here really if you're capable of working. It doesn't say that, does it? It's really direct. It says, you know what, find something to do. Find something to do under the hand of God. And He wants you to do something. He really does. But just trust Him. And that day when you get up, don't wonder. Just go out and work. And how many times I've told people that? I'm thankful to God that I've always had work. I'm thankful to God that I have been a person. I'm not afraid to work. My mom and dad taught me how to work. And we need to know how to work. And sometimes you have to learn how to work. And if you don't know how to work, by the grace of God, ask Him to show you. And He'll show you quickly. And you know how you do it? Just be willing to do something. Be willing to do anything that He's called you to. And I appreciate brothers and sisters. Let me tell you something. There's nothing too low. There isn't. And by the grace of God, that might be the greatest treasure in your life. To get down there and dig that ditch when you think you need to be running something. And I mean that. Take it from the Lord. It'll be the greatest treasure to your life. You don't need to be esteemed. Let Him be highly esteemed. Let Him be magnified in your life. If you're not the kind of person that, well, I could never do that. I couldn't get down that. get that low. It's a privilege. It's an absolute privilege to suffer for His name's sake. And if He's called you to it, I'll tell you, be running for that shovel or whatever it may be, or that type of thing. And God help us to have that kind of a heart to do it. So, and the main thing here is He's helping you anyways, because it's going to prevent you from being a busybody. Can you imagine that? Wow, all the benefits when you follow the Word of God and you allow it to work in your life. So here you go. Some Christians, oh my, I can't believe he had me write this down, use looking for the Lord to come. Here we go. Some Christians use looking for the Lord to come as an excuse not to work, as an excuse to underachieve. How about as an excuse to be downright lazy? God forbid. But you know what? I've lived long enough. I understand it. And that's not the will of God. It isn't. He said to occupy till He come. He said, whatsoever we do it heartily as unto the Lord. Genesis 3:19 says, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. He wants us to be a people that get after it. He does. He didn't want us to be slothful, brothers and sisters. And we're in a time that it's hard to make money. We're in a time it's hard to feed our family. We're in a time when it's easy to throw up our hands and to give up. I don't read that anywhere in the Word of God. It's not here. And I know these are hard things, and you can say, well, brother, you've never had to walk that path. You know what? I haven't. I haven't had to walk minimum wage. But if God's got you walking that tomorrow, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I can only give out the Word of God. I don't know what He'll have me doing tomorrow. I don't even know if I'll be here tomorrow. Matter of fact, I hope I, in a lot of ways, you know where I'd like to be. But is this about winning His best? Is that why we come to Bible study tonight, is really to hear about God's very best? I believe, amen, amen. Well, this is what He has for us, brothers and sisters. And I mean to be direct with you. I'm not trying to be harsh. But we have to get out of our self-pity and understand that this is the gift of the Lord to bring us to this type of a realization that, Lord, this life is about You. It's not about me. It's about Christ in me. So if this is the way He chooses, it is well. All right. So back then what was going on was many looked to the church to take care of them. And that still goes on somewhat today, but now we have a replacement for the church. We look to the government to take care of us. But see what it is, it's the same old thing. It's anything but God. It's anything but God. And I hope you don't take this wrong. I'm not trying to be political. God's timing is perfect. I didn't plan this out. But I want you to understand this, is that, you know, we're just preaching the Word of God. Whether or not you want to hear it, by His grace, you're going to hear it. And then you can do with it what you want. But we need to work. And you have to understand, too, that there's so many benefits in it, as the Word of God has given us tonight. Shoot, even the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. And I can understand that. There were times I used to sleep a lot better when I was younger, when I had that paint roller in my hand or a broom when I was sweeping parking lots, than it was when I was running a business and I had to think of all those things. And I'm telling you, there were times I didn't sleep. And that's the truth. So until you've walked somebody else's shoes, don't go desiring to be in that place. And I wouldn't even desire to be in it anyways until God put you there. Whatever. All right. I'm just up here talking. Well, I'll tell you what. He'll bless you in numerous ways, brothers and sisters, if truly we just wake up in the morning and just work. Be thankful for it. It really happens that way. And you know what? Don't be afraid either. Don't be afraid. This can be something, you know, you look at me funny when I say this. Don't be afraid to let Him prosper you either. Don't be ashamed. Don't. And I understand that well, is that, you know, this is God's work. I appreciated Brother Hill so much, is that things didn't have him. If you knew him, things didn't have him. He had some wonderful things. But see, he always appreciated where they came from. He knew that they came from God, and he was able to enjoy them. And he never let those things, by the grace of God, it wasn't him, get in front of his walk to winning God's best. And that's the example, and I appreciate that. in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content, whether abounding or whether I'm abased, right? Amen. Everywhere, in all things, to understand we need Him and we need to trust Him that He's put us in the right place. So, we understand that He does bless us in so many ways. And I just encourage us, let's put our hand upon that wheel. Let's not be afraid of it and let Him take us on. But notice here, the reason that He's warning us of this is that when we are idle, when we are going about being busybodies, it can take us right out of rank. And I don't know about you, but I imagine that truly we all come to this meeting to be in the first rank. Amen. And as silly as this may seem to us in some ways, there's something about being a busybody that God is warning us with. He doesn't do this very often. And He's talking to first rank believers here. He's not talking to the Corinthians that, you know, we're going all these different ways and He had to correct this and this and this and this. He's talking about a specific thing here. And He's talking about not being idle. Not having any of that going on in my life. To be occupied with the coming of the Lord and allowing Him to do in me what He wants me to do in that day. And I encourage us to not be a busybody because it can take us out of that rank. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 5. And we'll start reading from verse 11. It's 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 11. But the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Now, that's an incredible warning. See, when we neglect to be busy, we poke our nose into places that they shouldn't be. And we all know this and we can hear the uh-huhs, but we can all be there. And see, what happens is soon when we go that way, the devil will have you awful busy with his devious devices. And you become tattletellers and you become meddlers. And God forbid it turns into actually causing discord among the brethren. And that is obviously something God says very clearly that He hates. All right, let's go on to verse 12. It says, now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. See, it's really a rebuking here. He's chastening very clearly with quietness. And that word means mind your own business. He's not beating around the bush. You know, it's time to tend your own garden. It's time to eat your own bread. And I don't know how much more straight up he can be in direct. You need to be about Christ in you. Christ in me, then He can do something with that. Then He can allow you to be a testimony and a salve and bring in a cold cup of water and all of those different things. So that's what we're trusting Him to do. Verse 13, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Now, what a precious verse, and brothers and sisters, so many applications in that. But in this encouragement, or this context, the encouragement is to focus on our own walk, by the grace of God, to focus on our own walk, to be diligent, to tend upon the Lord without distraction, to understand that, you know, truly the roots of bitterness and all of that, I don't need to go pulling them out of your garden. I got to get my garden and to be a testimony that way and to raise a crop and to be fruitful and to live a testimony. And that, you know, hopefully you might see Christ in me as the hope of glory. And you would take note and to say, well, what is it about Him? What are the things that make Him different? And that would be maybe among sinners and obviously even among Christians to say, you know, there's a peace that passes understanding in that life. And most of the time when you find people like that and people that truly are seeking and yielding to the depth of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, they're loving people, they're very giving people. But you know what? They're people that aren't into everybody else's business. They care. They'll call. They'll do all these things, but they don't meddle. They don't. You know what? If there's ever a petition or if there's ever a problem, they know exactly where to take it. And they take it to the Lord. They don't take it to this brother so-and-so and sister who and that. And then it gets going in the chain and it becomes, oh my goodness, what happened? You know. Huh? Yeah. The argument, you know, the next day becomes, well, they bought separate houses and they're living on the ends of the neighborhood, you know. So we don't want to be like that. But see, we need to be a people that, as David, and I appreciate the privacy. See, God showed him, even in his great failure, before thee and thee only have I sinned. And that's the truth. And we need to know that. Now, we don't want that to be a prideful thing either, and just to tell everybody to just, you know, go pound sand. We need to understand that we have hindered and hurt our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that should be a grief. It really should. And he did grieve before the Lord. And he knew that he had hurt the heart of the Lord. But let me tell you something. When you hurt the heart of the Lord as well too, you've injured and hurt the body. You know, I don't want to injure that body. I want to be a salve. I don't want to bring that harm to it. And by the grace of God, that's why we want to live that godly life. But we need to learn to say, Lord, search me if there be any wicked way in me. And that's something between you and the Lord. David didn't go pray it for everybody else. He prayed it for himself. So, my oh my, whole different way of Christianity from a lot of people thinking. But said it earlier, and I guess we'll say it again, is I need to be about Christ in me, the hope of glory. And then by grace, if we live that, you'll be a testimony. You can be effective. God can use you mightily because you'll have it working in you, and then it's real. All right, let's go ahead and read verses 14 and 15. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now this is precious here because this is really the process of how you deal with a brother or sister in the Lord that is getting or being disorderly. And note here again, that this disorderly brother or this disorderly sister in the Lord, it's always the same thing. It's not obeying and holding fast to the Word of God. It's not over anything else but the Word of God. And so specifically in this text, it's the word of this epistle. This letter. Now think of that. The importance. Why is this epistle so important? This epistle is so important because it's an epistle of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're talking about His bride. We're talking about the ones that are being invited and wooed to marry Jesus Christ. The greatest calling that there's ever been. The epitome, as we've been rejoicing, going back and forth into Revelation. This is the glory of God. This is the glory that's there. He's the light. She's the glory. It's just so awesome how this works. Everything that she has is His glory. But you know what? She's the vessel that's illuminated with it. And that's pretty cool. I just love it. But this is why it's so important. Specifically, the word of this epistle. So here's the process and the procedures here, brothers and sisters. When you know that you have a brother or sister that's walking disorderly, and it's all over the Word of God, you first note them. You understand what's there. God gives you that discernment. He allows you to see it. But then you approach as a brother. You don't approach as the hammer and the herbie's the nail. It's approach as a brother. And if you think about what he's saying here, is there's nothing of greater love than my brother in the Lord. There isn't anything that we should cherish anymore than our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's the truth. The most tender, the most gentle, the most precious vessels that there are God's children. Now, it doesn't mean, you know, it's the kid glove treatment and you're patting on the head and this is okay and that's okay. No, it's always in love, but never in compromise. You love them, but you stand. And you stand in that word, in the word of His grace. But you approach it this way. And you think about it, that brother is your body. And the Word of God says it so many different ways, but I'll just give it straight up to you. You know, I had an issue in my leg, and let me tell you something, that leg hurt. And that leg made my whole body sick. And I mean, it was as sick could be, sick nigh unto death, and I know it. But you know what? I didn't say, well, I don't have any use for your leg, and I'm going to cut you off. I tended to that leg. I did everything I could to that leg. Because that's my body. Now, how much more you? And how much more me? And by the grace of God, that's the love that we need to have and the care. And sometimes there's things that have to be done that are not pleasant. You know, there's people that have had things or cancers, tumors in their body. They didn't just let them sit there. They had to cut it out. They had to get it out of there. It took some radical stuff. Well, let me tell you something. You get in the Word of God and you bring that truth and you don't hold back. You don't compromise, but you always do it in love. So you note them, you approach them as a brother, then you admonish them or warn them. And you warn them of the issue and you warn them in love. And then, if they don't receive it, you don't have company with them. You get away. And you get away quickly and you depart. Still loving, still praying. Still asking the Lord to come in, but there's no more company. And I know often that that's a folly that we have, that even after we know that God has sovereignly given us that departure, we still linger. And you're wrong to do it, because it's the Word of God first and foremost that's telling you and instructing you very clearly. People often tell me, well, what should I do? Well, read the Word of God. It's right there. And you think that you're going to go holding their hand. And I'll tell you the second reason, you better not linger there, because it might eventually poison you. He's given you that departure. Get out of there. It's an appearance of evil and it's time to leave. And the calling is now. He's given you that proof. And then the third, and I think the most monumental, is that you convict them to shame. Now, a lot of people don't like to hear that, but what he's saying here is you convict them to a repentant heart. You wake them up. I love you, but I love my Lord more than I love you. And you know what? You should too. And you should love the Lord a lot more than what you're loving there and get away from it. And that's the testimony by His grace. It's not being legal. You do this in love, and it's the absolute truth. It's the perfect will of God. And I'll tell you what. Often I've seen, and what a victory it is to see the conviction happen and the change. And it's a wonderful thing. There's nothing better than to see ones that have been tied up in something that was just absolutely wrong. Maybe for years they tried to prove or reason why it was right or why it was okay. And then the love of God came in and freed it. So, praise the Lord. So, know it and know what an awesome power, again, is in that name of Jesus. All right, verse 16. Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Now this is precious because this is the Lord of peace Himself. I love how He words that. He didn't send us a substitute. He didn't send us anything else. It's His. And He's the peace. And we have it. And it's so wonderful that He gives us that. And who is the Prince of Peace? It's Jesus. And it's in Jesus and in that name that we have peace. And it's immediate. And that's why on Sunday we were just rejoicing. And don't ever be shy to utter the word Jesus. Utter the name Jesus. Amen. Peace that passes understanding, it's Jesus. And I'll tell you, I was calling on it a lot this week, you know, for my family, for my son, all of those little things, but are big and monumental things. But, you know, when you have people that you love that are suffering and suffering in different ways, and children and ones that you, again, you would give anything for to change it, you need the peace. And the only peace that I found ever is Jesus. And that's what He's given us. Not anything else, but Himself. And make sure you know this. as it says here, always by all means. That means in all manner of life. That's in everything. There's nothing that his arm's short for. It's everything. It's a salve that works for everything. I was thinking how, you know, there's only specific things that they sell now. You know, there's something specifically for your head. And now there's, you know, for the front of your head. And then you have to get something for the back of your head. And, you know, all these different things. Well, you know what? You save a lot of money. The Balm of Gilead, it just takes care of everything. And it does. Everything. From a physical need to a mental need. I know you don't have many mental needs out there. But everything. Isn't that something? Praise God. All right. And then it's because he's always with us and he never leaves us nor forsakes us. All right. Verse 17. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. And I think the thing I so appreciate about just reading that is the consistency. Every, all, because it's the Holy Spirit. It wasn't, well, I was feeling this mood this day and this day. Or so. No, it was all the time because it was the same writer. It was, you know, the ready writer. And that was the Lord that enabled all of that. And I appreciate about this dear brother. But you see here, as the Lord says of peace himself in the 16th verse, the 17th verse is a sweet thing here is because Paul was so Christ-like. He didn't leave the writing to a scribe. You know, he didn't say, well, I want you to dictate this or I want you to do this. This was Paul. This was by his own hand. My tongue being the pen of a ready writer. And I will say this. I've heard of many preachers, and we kind of kid as I talk to my different brothers. You know, I said, well, did my sermon come in yet? You know, I clicked the mouse and I paid and it didn't come. Well, as lame as that is that I just said, you know, people buy their sermons. People have, and I didn't realize this, they have people that even write them in their church, and then the pastor performs them. Oh, did I say that? God forbid. And I'm not trying to cast judgment, but see, this is the difference. I want it to be something he's given me, because then I know I can give it to you. You see what I'm saying? If I get it from somebody else and just give it to you, I don't know. But I want him to give it to me. I want to have that experience with him. And then, by the grace of God, it really meant something. It's something that, I guess, in a lot of ways, it was cooked in my own kitchen. You know what I'm saying? And he was something. He did it. And it was personal. So, I don't know. I've talked to different people, a couple pastors, about that kind of stuff, and they just thought I was being a little haughty, and I said, look, I'm no great writer, but I know the one who will give me the utterance, and that's who I'm going to rely on. So, I don't want you to think I was worrying my computer broke. All right, so here it says, the token, and this is precious. Now, some people will say, well, the token was Paul's handwriting. You know, he talks about writing his letters large and because he couldn't see and all these things. But I really do believe that it's very clear here that hand speaks of the personal attention. See, Paul cared. He had passion for these folks. He had the love of God, and he loved these brothers and sisters. And God gave him a special love. And brothers and sisters, that's just the love of God. And we need to have that special love where we have that passion one for another, that we want to be together. And I'm thankful. I think I'm speaking to people that really do. You know, you got to want to be together to get out on a Wednesday night. This day and age, like we were talking about, this old world sucking up your time. I know you don't have much time. But we live in the time to redeem the time. So you know what? Just ask the Lord to make the time for you, and he'll make time. He'll stretch it. He'll do, you know, time's nothing to him. You know, he's beginning and end, Alpha, Omega. So you give him your life by the grace of God. And let me tell you something. It'll be perfect timing, like we're talking about Sunday. You know, his time, his season, it's perfect. The will of God is always perfect. And he'll bring it like that. So I just believe so clearly this is the Holy Spirit power that came into Paul that obviously wrote all of the words, the word of God that came through that sweet vessel. All right, and we'll close it up here in verse 18. It says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." And you think of all of his epistles, begins in grace, continues in grace, and ends in grace. And let that just speak to us. It's got to be grace. It's got to be grace, or it's never going to be profitable. It's never going to have any effect. Only through and by God's undeserved gift of love. Listen to this. Only through and by God's undeserved gift of love can anything be profitable to us. When we come together, when you read the Word, when you kneel down to pray, I am just more and more encouraged every moment that we need to have the greatest of thankfulness. When you came here tonight, I'm just thankful you're here, but did you have a gratitude that you were here? That you didn't come in here grudgingly thinking, oh, it's Wednesday, I got to come to church. God help us. Gratitude. Lord, you brought me here. You know, I might not be feeling like it tonight. I might not be, you know, on any cloud, let alone cloud nine. But I'm expecting something. Because you promised me that your word doesn't return void. And I think that's a win-win. So I'm confident in him that I can say that this has done you good. Because it's his word. And you might not go out of here feeling a lot tonight. But I know that that word doesn't return void. And it might be sometime later tonight that you'll be singing. He might put you on Israeli time too and get you up at 3 a.m. and harass you that way. That's what Brother Ty told me. He said, that's when Jesus is up, see, you know. Yeah, he's up all the time. But he might just seem to get you up at 2 or 3 a.m. too. He used to get me up at 3:30 for a long time. He's been letting me sleep a little bit longer now. But I don't know. He might have a different season coming up for me. So, in the greatest of thankfulness, brothers and sisters, knowing fully that we never earned it, that we never merited this, there was nothing that we did to deserve to get it, but it was all and always will be freely given because of one thing, because of how much he loves you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand and bow our heads. Dear God, we thank you again for this time. We thank you that you're such a loving Savior. We just are so grateful that your word is true. Lord, help us to be inspired with the words of life. And we're just so grateful to you that you're dealing with us at this time, in this age. It's such a wicked world, Lord God. But, you know, you're searching right now for that pearl, that goodly pearl. And, Lord, you've given everything. Thank God you gave your Son. And I'm so grateful that there is this Holy Spirit, Lord, that is encouraging lives, that it being revealed right now that the true worshiper who worships you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, may we stand and say, Lord, by your grace, let that be me. Jesus, let us want to run to win, not just run to one that beats the air, runs flailingly, but know with absolute purpose, every stride, a stride for your glory, a stride to finish, a stride to meet you face to face, fully mature, looking into the one who we will wed. Just thank you, dear God, that we can have a vision of your Son like that. Thank you for preparing lives and hearts. Lord, not that we've apprehended, but Lord, in your faithfulness, in your workmanship, that, Lord, we know that by grace you can. And, Lord, someday to say, thank you, God, that we believed. We just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.